eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shift and Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, welcome to Shift and Steer. I'm Matt the Moderator DeAndrea, back again with Aaron Hagar. Brad is... Brad's, I don't know, a little under the weather. I don't know what happened. Maybe the sun came out and Brad's like, it's been raining so much. The sun is giving him some kind of cold or sickness or whatever. But anyway.
Stress.
So, yeah. Stress. Well, listen, we had fun last week. We got quite a bit into your builds last week.
Yeah.
Here you were in town, and so the question is, did you stay the extra night or did you drive home and camp on the way?
I stayed the extra night because I was so excited to camp, but I didn't bring anything to use. I just had a sleeping bag basically. And I spent a little more money than I wanted, but I needed. And so I was like, I'm not going to buy more stuff just to camp. But I did want to stop along the way and shoot some footage and just do some cool reveal stuff. And I got to do that at Fossil Falls on 395. It made a right Fossil Falls. The falls looked pretty busy. There was tents and stuff lining the road. So I made a left down this little red, like clay red dirt road. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And I wandered around there for a short time. And then I came across this old, abandoned, decrepit, like little farmhouse building next to those the cow corral that where they load cows in. You know, they put them in that little tight corral and then load them up a little ramp. There was like an old one of those and a fence line, and I'm like, this is a cool spot. And so I backed up the Jeep, opened everything up, and I started to walk around with my phone and my drone and kind of look for opportunities to get some cool shots. And I posted on social media, if you haven't seen it, folks, it's pretty neat. It had to be Johnny Cash. I put it to Johnny Cash because it's just gritty and earthy and cool. But I joke that it's called the B-roll bonanza, because there's the only story is, look at all this cool B-roll of the Jeep and this cool building.
Right. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
really fun. And then I came home and then it snowed. So everything yep. was covered in 3 inches of snow. So I didn't do the reveal that day. So the next day, the sun came out, melted most of it. So I did the reveal, which ended up being 8 minutes, a little 8-minute video that I compressed the crap out of. So thank you so much, everyone. It's taken off like crazy. It's already got over 5,000 views in a day or two. And that's 8 minutes people are spending watching that. So thank you very much for everybody who's paying attention. But yeah, it's pretty much done. Like, I got to clean up a little bit of my stuff that kind of lingered where I wired some things into the truck. So all that stuff came. I ordered all these nice little, all the little cable wraps and all the connectors that they use, that Tiny Rig uses, because I wanted to match everything they do of that quality. So that came yesterday. And Yeah, I got to start on some helmets, but I think I might just take an hour and just tidy up a little wiring while the sun's out. And it's a nice day.
Right. You know, you got to get to work, though. You got to do some painting, you got to do some artwork. Yeah. So you can pay for all that shit you just put on your truck.
I know. No joke. I don't paint helmets anymore because I get really sick from the chemicals, but I've got two like really high-end drivers who've been waiting literally years. I've had one of these helmets for like 3 years. I'm so sorry, guys, but I don't pay anymore. It's so hard for me to schedule, and it's stressful.
I don't know if that helmet's going to pass tech anymore. I mean, 3 years old.
You know what? That's a good point. I should look at the date.
Yeah, you should definitely check the dates on that first.
I know,
or get it re-stickered or something.
Yeah. I think they can get re-certified. Yeah. I'm really minimalistic when I paint too. I really don't disrupt anything. I'm not one of those guys that strips the core out and strips all that. No. I tape it off. You don't mind a couple tape lines, you know, it stays intact from the factory. So, because they're Stilos, you know, they're not cheap helmets.
They're not. But yeah, you definitely want to check the.
Matt's might be expired because that's the one I've had the longest.
Right.
We
spoke a while ago, I think around LA Auto Show, where Porsche debuted their 911 Dakar edition.
Yeah.
Right. And then Lamborghini did the Huracan Sterrato, I think. That's sort of their like off-road edition vehicle. And these are going to be production cars. They're limited production, but they're making a few of these things.
Crazy.
And I don't know. It's just like it's kind of started with like Ford Raptor Gen 1. And then it kind of evolved into, you know, Ranger Raptor and some other parts of the world. And I'm actually going out, I think, in May. I'm going to Detroit to see the new Ford Ranger and Ranger Raptor, which I believe they're bringing to the U.S., but I don't know. What's your thoughts on these cars being turned into production off-road vehicles?
It's a novelty. I mean, it's a marketing thing. There's no reason for it. I think it's cool. I mean, heck yeah. I saw that the new Ineos, the Grenadier, they're doing a pickup version. And I think Toyota announced a new mini FJ. You know, I mean, it is definitely the trend to go off road and tear up some forestry land. But yeah, I mean, you know, will Ferrari do it? Will Lamborghini make one into a pickup? I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm curious.
Okay, well, so
why not diversify? Let's go.
I bring it up because the latest rumor is Ford's going to do it with the new Mustang platform. They're going to do Safari version of the Mustang.
Cool. Let's do it.
Which could be, you know, like a 480 or 500 horsepower V8. Yeah. But because now they've done the Raptor and the Raptor R, well, they could do a Ford Mustang Safari, like a Mustang Raptor, basically, and then a Raptor R. They could have the supercharged version. You know, they could have a 500 horsepower version and a 760 horsepower version of it. You know, they already, through their Raptor programs, they already have the partnerships with Fox for the live valve shocks and the, you know, some of the suspension components. They would have to, I don't know, maybe figure it out for the car. I'm not quite sure, but when I read the rumor, I was like, I don't see them doing this because it may take away from the truck lineups, the Raptor, the Bronco Raptor, the Ranger Raptor. But then again, we know that Ford and other brands are moving toward taking the car platform like Mustang or Corvette and turning it into, or Bronco, and turning it into a standalone brand, right? We saw Mustang do it. Right. They had the Mustang Mach-E, so now they've got the EV, and then they've got the EcoBoost and the GT, and now the Dark Horse, and they're probably doing GT500, and, you know, Ford F-150's lineup.
Can't keep track of all this stuff.
Chevy's got their C8 Corvette, and they have the Z06 and the E-Ray, and then potentially there's going to be a ZR1, and then there's going to be a Corvette SUV. And right. Now the rumor is the SUV could come in two flavors, like Porsche Macan and Porsche Cayenne. It could be small and medium, I guess. Mm-hmm. And the engines they have in their stables, they have a turbocharged 4-cylinder. They have twin turbo 6-cylinder, like from the CTS 5 or CTS 4. They have a naturally aspirated V8, and they have the supercharged V8. So they have power ranging from somewhere like 300 to 680 horsepower. You can do a nice lineup. And that's before you do any sort of hybrid electrification.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I think the Corvette has the best shot at going after the pure sangue, you know, the Ferrari. Because they're kind of, I don't want to say they're similar, but in styling, the Corvette's pretty exotic, and it kind of has a little Ferrari vibe, you know?
Well, look, the renderings of the Corvette SUV has gorgeous. A little bit of Lamborghini Urus in it with kind of that, like, the kind of pointy beak in the front, because the Corvette already kind of has that look to it. So a little bit of that Lamborghini in there. So I don't know. I was just kind of interested, like, would Mustang do a Safari edition? Now, Mustang is not opposed to doing special edition cars, right? Every year or every other year, we get a GT350 or a Mach 1 or a Bullitt or a GT500 or some combination of them. I don't know. I mean, I think they could probably sell a few of them. And by a few, I think, I don't know, 3,000?
Yeah, but I mean, I wonder how much it costs to develop that stuff, because, you know, it's out of the realm of what they have. And I think anything that's branded as like a Baja or anything, Baja traditionally would be, you know, you would think of it being a truck, but Baja was also buggies. I think the Baja brand or marketing in the past has always been like a small or mid-sized truck, you know, and Subarus and all these compact things. So I like seeing Porsche do it, and I like seeing some of these other companies use it as a marketing tool in more of a compact space, in kind of a hatchback. Someone built, I don't know if it's on Bring a Trailer, it's somewhere, but someone built a Porsche 944 Safari. Oh, sorry, as Baja and now Safari. So everybody's taking the Safari brand. But I see the Safari brand being more of a compact thing. I don't see like a full-size F-250 truck being a Safari, more like a Baja, and then Safari being more of like, but someone did a Safari 944, but they made it a Ute. They actually took out the rear window and made a pickup. I love that stuff. It's fun. It's creative. But again, you know, is it something that these companies can afford, you know, especially Ford, to develop something new? Or is it just kind of a novelty of bolt-on stuff that kind of everybody's using? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I guess if you start to think about it, it's really all in the suspension, and we've got this. There's nothing particularly innovative about the suspension that you can't look at the aftermarket or some other company and go, oh, somebody brought, you know, a so-and-so Safari car to SEMA that's got a McPherson strut front end, and it's just got either a live axle or some sort of independent rear, you know, like how, you know, it's all kind of bolt in stuff anyway. I think doing it is one thing, but making it
production
strong enough
that
people can modify it, right?
Yeah.
This is something we've seen already with like Raptors and TRXs and stuff. It's like, it's a cool truck out of the box, but once you start modifying it and adding power and really hammering it off road, you know, they fold in half.
Well, not only that, you have the idea of, to really be a true Safari, you know, you probably want all wheel drive. So Mustang and some other vehicles that don't have an all wheel drive, existing all wheel drive system, you know, that's a big deal, because now you got to fit that front system, and also suspension travel. You know, you need bigger wheel arches, you need more space inside, you need larger components that take up more space, and you start to lose that compactness of that design. So I think there's a lot more development in it than you might just think off the cuff, you know?
Right. So there's there's these spy shots of another Mustang in development with the bras and all the tape and everything all over it. It's got some center exhaust in the back. And, you know, the speculation is this is going to be the next GT500. But some people were looking at the photos and going, there's something going on in the front and it's got more tire and something's a little weird. And they're speculating at an all-wheel drive version of the car.
Wow. Well, there you go.
And if that's the case, then the rumor of a Safari version would make sense. Because if Ford's going, hey, we're going to do an all-wheel drive version already, then now we're adding the suspension system to make it an off-road, not an entire drivetrain, because it's already being developed. And like you said, will they sell it? Well, this probably goes the opposite direction. They're going, well, how many all-wheel drive Mustangs are we going to sell?
Yeah.
And they go, but if we do a really cool special edition Safari and we jack up the price and we make 3,000 or 5,000 of them, you know, can we get a little bit more margin in that vehicle and pay for the development of this?
Yeah. Or is it just marketing to help put Ford on the map of being a company that makes cool stuff? Speaking of, I'm going to find this photo. I took a photo of some taped up vehicle that I saw on my trip back. So while you're talking, I'll find it and send it to you.
Okay. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit while you're looking at that. And the end of Land Rover, just in the name, not in anything else. So not too much.
Right.
Jaguar Land Rover, which is the parent company that owns Jaguar and Land Rover, obviously, is changing its name to JLR. And they're going to drop the official Jaguar Land Rover from it. So the Land Rover brand, and what they're going to do is they're just going to spin off the brands. So you'll have a Range Rover, Discovery, Defender, and Jaguar. Those will be the four brands now, not the nameplates for the models. So Land Rover is no longer going to be in the equation, which is interesting. Now, doesn't necessarily mean it won't have the badge on the vehicle, because some people still want the Land Rover badge. But
sure.
Range Rover, Discovery, Defender, and Jaguar will be the new brands under JLR.
That's funny. Oh, well.
Right.
I don't know that I love all this, like, you know, just Ram, you know, it's like, it's a Dodge Ram. I don't know. I'm having a hard time with this change of just abbreviating everything. And here's three letters, you know, hey, it's not Taco Bell anymore. It's TB, you know,
right.
TB tuberculosis. It's just Bell now.
They sell more than tacos and they got hamburgers and it's just the Bell. Come to the Bell.
We sell musical equipment now, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing to be doing that. But I guess they're just it's so much capitalization on brand equity. Before, like, we did have some equity in the nameplates.
Yeah.
You know. But now it's more. So
that's what I saw on the road. What do you think it is? You think it's a Lexus or something?
That's kind of tough. I'm not quite sure.
I know, right? It was pretty well disguised.
Yeah.
I forgot to look at the wheels, if the wheels are a giveaway.
You know, I would say BMW, but BMW has gone in such a wacky direction that it doesn't have some of the sharp angles.
I don't know. Those taillights. I don't know, right? So I saw that downtown.
Yeah. It could be something Toyota.
That looks Toyota. So what I sent Matt folks is when I was in Huntington, I saw, you know, an SUV driving away next to me, and other than the generic average ugly wheels, it was all wrapped in that weird black and white patterning where you can't quite know what it is, but even though the lights are a certain shape, and I don't know if they changed that, you know, like you said, it looked very Toyota. But
yeah, you really got to look at the front. But also, like, down in this area, I see BMWs tested a lot out here. But also we've got like a Hyundai headquarters. So Hyundai, Kia, Genesis, there's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
You could probably see down there. So maybe even something from Hyundai,
yeah,
like new Sonata or something like that could be, because it's got a little bit of a roundish to it.
Taillights.
Not the taillights from Genesis. So maybe something else, but yeah.
I'm not as familiar with those, but it's fun. It's kind of exciting when you see, when you're like, ooh.
I'd
like to do is buy an old Volkswagen Bug and wrap it in that manner and have something on it that's like test vehicle.
Oh yeah. Somebody will photograph you. Somebody will definitely photograph you.
What is Volkswagen doing? Are they bringing back the Bug?
It's interesting because they do all this wrap and stuff, but there's not a lot they can do on the front side windows because of just legal reasons. You can't really block it. And on these cars, you don't want to do a dark tint because that's not necessarily legal as well. So especially in my truck, my F-150 that I drive around, I pulled up next to like three wrapped, like camouflage wrapped BMWs the other day at the stoplight. I went up next to them all, and all of them got like two people in it with all these wires on the dash. You could completely see inside the car because I'm up high, so I can really see everything that's going in there. And they're just driving around getting data, right? They're not like really fussing with anything. They're just bored. They're just sitting in the car, just hanging out, talking, writing notes down. Like, they're just not really doing much. They're just driving.
They drive cross country. They put hundreds of thousands of miles in those things, right?
And here we've got Waymo. So Waymo is the company developing autonomous cars, and they did a deal with Jaguar some years ago, and the Jaguar I-Pace, which is the little electric SUV, there's a bunch of them around here, and I don't know if they're just it's the car and people drive them around, and they've got like these pods and cameras and radars all over it. But they painted it like body color, and they kind of molded it to the car. Like, they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, it's neat.
And I guess they're just like mapping stuff like Google did and driving habits. And I swear there's like a guy down the street from me in the neighborhood that drives the Waymo car. And I see him like every day going like to and from work. But I've seen a handful of these things. So I guess they're just like all in on like mapping, you know, Venice and Marina Del Rey and Santa Monica, Culver City. Like, they've just been all over recently getting.
Well, of course, because they're mapping places where they'll probably be most. They're not going to map, you know, rural Arkansas.
Right. Right. Yeah.
They're going to go urban, man. You know, they're going to go where they're probably be driving them most. You know, it's just like electric cars in general. Rich Rebuilds he bought that he bought the truck one and Rivian, and man, he couldn't charge it. We talked about that briefly. It's like there's no infrastructure in certain states, you know, coast and Midwest. It's the same thing. It's like you're driving your autonomous car and all of a sudden it just stops. It's like, I don't know where to go. I don't have a map past this area. It's the dead zone.
There was some video posted the other day too of people were in an autonomous car. Someone was in the front passenger seat and someone was in the back, and they were filming it. And there was a motorcycle cop in front of them, facing them with the lights on. And he got off his bike and he's like, pull over, pull over. And they're like, we don't know how to pull over. There's nobody driving the car.
Oh my God.
And the cop was like getting mad. He's like, pull over. And the woman in the front's going, I don't know how to pull over. And then I guess they stopped filming or whatever. I don't know if there's a longer version, but whatever, like,
oh my Instagram gosh, version
I scrolled through was the cop like walking toward the car, and then the car, like, the cop came in front of him, and then the car like went a little left, it went like a little right to get around him, and he's like blocking him, and the lady's like, there's nobody driving.
That's funny. She needs a little whiteboard. She can go, it's an autonomous car. I'm not in control. You know,
I don't, there must have been like some way to tell the car, you know, like Demolition Man, like emergency stop.
Yeah,
and then it stops.
Yeah.
But like, what do you, you know,
police
like,
officer, pull over, you know,
and it's supposed to know that. So when they were testing other like autonomous cars, like, I don't know, maybe like around Google or Apple or whoever was doing it. There was videos of the car getting pulled over. It was supposed to recognize car, the lights behind you, and pull over to a safe area and get itself a ticket, right? But,
a little wing comes out.
But this was a motorcycle cop in front of the car facing them. Like, he was like blocking traffic, excuse me, because of something. And the car was trying to go through. It didn't know it was like a closed road. And he's like, you can't go this way. Pull over. And the car was like, no, I'm going around. I don't know. Between iRobot and whatever.
Abandoned
it's like
car.
Yeah.
Abandoned, just jump out, run. Run
like,
away.
And I don't think the passengers could get out because the car kept trying to move. So like, I don't know.
Can you put it in park?
Like, is there some way to tell the cars or some button? Like, or
there's just so many problems with this scenario.
This is why we're so far off. We're so far off from this, right? We're so far off.
I said go to Jack in the Box, not Taco Bell.
Yeah, right? And then they're like,
vegetarian.
Yeah, yeah. The car's like, no, Taco Bell's better for you. What? What's going on? I've seen the way you look. I see you in that seat. You should not be eating Taco Bell. You should not be eating Jack in the Box. You're going to Chick-fil-A.
Face tracking. Yeah, face tracking. You keep looking at it.
Yeah, so. It's belly tracking. We're like, judging by you, we should go to Sweetgreen's.
Yeah. Judging by the velocity in the seat, you've already been there.
Yeah. All right, so this past weekend, you know, we went to Grand Prix of Long Beach.
Yeah, how was Grand Prix?
It was great. I want to say record number on Sunday race day was 89,000 people. The event people put it out there. And I went, Adam Carolla went with me. Tammy went, friend of ours, Dave, he went with us. And
I should have went. I didn't need to go home. I'm home and I'm like, oh my God, it was, I was right there. I should have just went. I'm so sorry.
Should have just bought a ticket at the door and went in.
Totally spaced. Yeah, totally spaced.
Yeah, thanks to Acura. Acura took care of us. Recaro took care of us. Galpin Auto Sports had a nice setup. They had their rig out there with a full bar and a big screen TV to watch the race too, so you can watch from there.
You got to meet those guys, man. I've been over there a couple times and no one's ever been there. And
We cruised on over to the Meyer Shank racing team, talked to Mike Shank, talked to Simon Pagenaud as he was getting ready for the race. Cruised over to Ray Hall's team, and I didn't see Bobby. He was running around, but we spent a few minutes with Graham Ray Hall, and he was getting ready for his race as well. So it was good to catch up with those guys and watch some of the IndyCar race. The vintage, you know, each year they do a vintage race and usually a different theme, IMSA, whatever, Trans Am. This was vintage Formula One cars. And they sounded so amazing out there. And I was sitting there with Adam going, you know, this is a tight course. There's some pretty slow areas. There's the
area.
You know, there's, you know, around the fountain, and there's, you know, some pretty tight areas. I go, I bet those vintage F1 cars get around that track almost as fast as those modern Indy cars do. And he's like, you know, it's probably pretty close. So I didn't really get a chance to pull the track times on it, but it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. And then now what were those Formula cars back then? Were they 10s, 12s, 8s?
I don't remember the engines. All I do is somebody came up to me and said that the John Player special car wrecked. Unfortunately, got a little damage to one of the JPS cars. Yeah. And, I don't know who was driving it. I didn't get too much in there. We showed up as they were out on the track. And then by the time we got back to those cars to see them, we wanted to watch the IndyCar race. They were all packed up and pretty much ready to go. So we didn't get a chance to kind of walk around and see those cars.
What bands were playing there this year?
It wasn't a band that I know. It was like a very good like cover band.
Really?
And I don't recall the name of them. And we left before they went up on stage. But crazy thing on the way out, if you guys didn't hear about this, but we left Sunday, I don't know, 4:30-ish or so. And like right around that time, maybe 4:40, there was out on the street, there was a gunman. Someone was shooting. And
what the hell?
So apparently the police, this guy had already fired off his shot somewhere deeper in the neighborhood in an alley, and they were going after him. And then he got over to like the main entrance area of the Grand Prix of Long Beach, and the cops got him. They had to shoot him. They had to kill him. Nobody else was injured. I don't know if this guy was just kind of nuts. I don't think he was intentionally heading toward the Grand Prix of Long Beach to, you know, to cause casualties, but heading in that direction was obviously a bad move for him. Yeah. I will say kudos to the security and the police department out there. Security was so high at that event.
Sure.
Past shit going around all around the country that they were on point. This guy showed up and they had him locked down and taken down in a matter of minutes, it seemed. Like, wow. They were not screwing around. And everybody walked out unscathed, but shots were fired and it was a little hectic in the race. People were fleeing the race. And I'm sure, again, we were like in the car in traffic on the way out. I'm sure they sort of filtered people. It wasn't like a panic and fences were coming down. I think there was so much security and stuff there. They had a plan. They're like, we're on alert. We've got a guy. He's got a weapon. Exit on the south side or whatever, or the, you know, and funnel people out that way, which is, it seems like that's what they did. I don't have all of the details on it, but
crazy. It's a mess with that kind of stuff right now.
But everybody did their job and they did their job well. So just wanted to say, kudos to those guys for doing it.
Wow. That's crazy. I didn't hear about that. I live in Tahoe, so I'm basically in an igloo with no cell reception. So.
No, I get it. anyway, while I was at Long Beach, my car, my Mach 1, was at Irwindale.
Oh, yeah.
For the Fabulous Fords Forever event. They went down. I dropped it off at Anderson Composites at their place, and then they loaded it up on a trailer with some of their other display cars and brought it down there. So I got an opportunity to drive it an hour to Anderson Composites.
Hey.
And then this week I, you know, Ubered back over there and got in the car and drove it home. And
you got to drive it.
I got to drive it. I got a little more seat time in it.
How many miles
I
have now?
Well, the car's only got like 3,500 miles, but I've got about 100 miles or so on it with the turbo kit. The tune seems to be dialed in.
Good.
Well, I've been driving it around, and in the configuration of the gauges, you can put gauges up on there so you can get inlet temperature, cylinder head temperature, air fuel ratio, lots of good statistics. So I've just been running it in that mode just to make sure I don't see any anomalies in fuel pressure or temperature or anything like that. And I've noticed a few things. First off, the big intercooler on the front of this thing for the turbo, is definitely doing its job. Now, it hasn't been too hot out, but when I drove inland to pick up the car, it was 85 degrees out there. And on the way home, I didn't see more than about a 5 degree difference between ambient temperature and inlet temperatures.
Wow.
So that's impressive. Getting close to ambient as possible is the goal.
Yeah.
And I had this conversation with Gail Banks a while ago because he's a super nerd about this stuff. And I was like, how much room do I have? If it's ambient temperature, what should my intake be? And he's like, as close to ambient temperature as possible.
Right.
I was like, okay. And I was like, there you go. So that's how efficient you want your intercooler. So if I'm in within 5-6 degrees so far, now I haven't been out to Willow Springs at 100 degrees and see, right, you know, what's happening there. But we might have an opportunity in maybe August to get out there and do a few laps. And I'm going out there, I think, with the guys from Magnaflow. They're bringing out a handful of their project vehicles for photographs and rolling shots and stuff. And they invited me to bring the car up. And I said, you know, that would be fantastic. I'd love to you know, do a couple laps and get some nice shots of the car. But I've been driving around. It's good. It's interesting to me is all the cars I've driven in turbo cars, hearing the turbos and the blow off valves in a Mustang is weird to me.
I bet. Yeah.
So when you really get it up in the RPMs, you hear that. You start to hear that thing, and it's cool. It's interesting to feel. Now it's not like batshit crazy. Like it hits hard. It's not like you get in it and you're just spinning the tires at every stoplight. They did a pretty good job on the throttle mapping of this thing, and the turbos spool up. Like you don't need a ton of RPM, especially because you've got a lot of torque. You've got a V8 motor in it. And when those turbos come in, it's got some power. I don't know if this thing ultimately is anyway faster around a track or a drag strip than the GT500, but we have similar suspension setups. That's what the Mach 1 is. And similar power. Now I haven't put it on the dyno yet, but it should be somewhere around that 750 horsepower range.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. That's perfect horsepower.
And why do this? So the plan was, do you go buy a GT500, which is a fantastic car, and I've been on the track with it many times, or go for a Mach 1 and maybe add some power to it, personalize it, and get it with a manual transmission.
And drive it.
Right. So with all of this talk of manual transmissions going away, and I know that the new Mustang has a manual and stuff, but I was like, you know what? The Mach 1 would be kind of fun. Whatever. Like a new GT500 probably won't have a manual transmission because they did so much calibration on that DCT. They'd probably do that again. The Dark Horse, which is 500 horsepower, does have a manual transmission. And I was pretty close to that anyway, 480 stock. So it's good. It runs great. It sounds great. It's got a few Steeda suspension components in it. We did a few things on the rear suspension to stiffen it up. They're like anti-hop kit, right? So you don't get that wheel hop. We put lowering springs on it. That Steeda makes a lowering spring that works well with the MagnaRide adjustable suspension. It's a progressive rate spring that works with that. I believe it's progressive spring. It's good. Now, it's got the big splitter in the front. It's all carbon fiber. So being lower than stock is a real pain in the ass. It's really tough to not scrape anything. So I put the big, there's like two splitters, right? There's the one, and then there's the extended version. So I put the extended version on just for the events. And then if I drive it around, I take it off. I just take it off. It's just too low. If I put the stock springs back on, I can get a little bit more height out of it, but I would still take it off anyway. So the suspension feels good. It's got a great stance on it now. It certainly sits right. It's got HRE wheels on it. And then I put the Pilot Cup Sport 2s were just so aggressive, and I'm just driving it to shows and stuff on the street, that I put the 4S's on, Pilot. The 4S's. It's
a great tire.
The hood is fantastic. We've got all the carbon fiber pieces all around the bottom, right? The splitters, sides, side skirts, the rear wing with the gurney flap, the blackout panel where the fake gas cap kind of thing would be, where it says Mach 1. That's all carbon fiber. And then the mirror caps are carbon fiber. And then if you guys saw it at SEMA, of course, in some of my photos, we showed the car for a little bit with the all carbon fiber hood with the scoop on it, which is a functional scoop for the stock cars, not necessarily for my turbo, because the scoop sucks in air, has a channel through the hood, and it goes to where your airbox would be, where your open element filter is on the normal Mach 1, right? So for me, it's just kind of blowing air like on the inlet tube going to the intercooler. Maybe I'll figure out something to do with it at some point. But so what we did was I ended up painting it the fighter jet gray and the orange stripe and stuff around it. And what was
like
normally, yes, like my sweatshirt that I'm wearing now. And then where the black stripe would be, we left it the raw carbon fiber. We clear coated the whole thing. And the Mach 1 logo in the front, that's subtle, that was on the sticker for the car, for the factory hood, we reversed that out. So it's in carbon fiber.
Guys, if you haven't, not to interrupt, but if you haven't seen this car yet, do go on Matt's Instagram, Motorator, and check this thing out. We've seen it in person. I love the color combo, first of all. It looks so good, but it's tasteful. It's not overstated. It's not quite understated, but it's very, very tasteful. It is a beautiful car, Matt. Well done.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it was important for us to show the hood in all carbon fiber for a few events last year. But for SEMA, I wanted to paint it. I understand you want to see the quality of the hood and everything. So we did that for a bit. And now other people are buying the hoods. But you're right. I didn't want this like very boy racer kind of look for it. So I wanted to paint the hood and I was like, no, let's just kind of paint it the way it was. And then the whole thing's clear coated and smoothed out. You don't feel the lines or any of that.
Oh stuff, yeah. Right? It's slick, man.
Inside, I didn't do too much. We're doing the audio system on it with Focal, and it's components that I haven't used before. So the speakers and everything are fantastic. Very, very high end. The new Focal K2s, I think the M's, they're great. The processor is from Moscone. It's an Italian brand, Moscone. Oh. And I'm not familiar with the processor. And me being a Mac guy, an iPhone guy, the processor out of Italy is only PC. And they're like, oh, you can get the Bluetooth thing so you can connect to your phone and stuff, and it's only Android. So,
oh man,
we're having some issues tuning it. The installer that worked on it for me is a great fabricator, great builder, just a little green when it comes to tuning, especially for something complex like this. I found a video online, like a 47 minute video of tuning, and it's all in Italian. So,
oh my God. And Google's making a mess of that one. Let me tell you.
Right. So I'm just taking a few steps to, my next step is I got the cable for it. I'm going to borrow a PC laptop, see if I can download the tune that's in it and map out how I have the amps and everything wired up. And then I'm going to go back to Moscone and a couple of their, you know, veteran installers around the country and go, can we get close? Can you mail me a tune? Right. Can you just email me a new file?
Yeah. And what's a spaghetti ohm?
Yeah, right. Right. How many spaghetti ohms?
What's a spaghetti ohm?
I've been hesitant to photograph all of the audio system stuff yet because we're still working on the door panels.
Are you 3D printing any little covers or any little?
So we've talked about it. We might. We haven't yet, but there's three speakers in the door. In the Mustang already, there's three speakers in the door. There's a mid bass, kind of a 3.5-inch mid range, and a tweeter.
That's pretty fancy.
I'm sorry. Yeah, actually, I'm sorry. One is in the A pillar, and then the other two are in the door.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And the A pillar ones are done because the Focal like grill that comes with it fit perfectly. We custom made new A pillars that wrapped in a vinyl, and they look factory, but you can see there's a lot more quality to it. It's not just a piece of plastic.
Cool.
The door pieces we had to redo, and we're making a grill and stuff for it. But yes, that the mid speaker, the 3.5-inch, when you close the door, the dash gets very close to where the speaker grill would be. So on the Mustang factory, it's flush. And if you end up making something, if it's lifted off the door, like has a lip or a grill or something on it, you don't have much room to play with. So if we can't get something to work, we will end up 3D printing something because now we can change the shape and contour it around the dash and really make it look kind of interesting. So
what a great option to be able to do.
I'm still tripping
about 3D printing.
and this wouldn't need to be machined out of metal or anything. We can actually just 3D print it in plastic, smooth it out, paint it if we want to, or just do it in the black plastic and be done with it. Right. We can actually just make a ring. If Focal has the little metal grill and we like that, we can scan that and then we can 3D print the ring that we need and then put the grill in it and you'll be good to go.
So
we're playing around with some really ideas impressive. And then we'll photograph it. But the back has two 10-inch slim mount woofers in it. Where the factory subwoofer is from Ford, we took that out and there's so much room in there that we were able to just mold in two 10-inch woofers into that area. And then the spare tire well doesn't have a spare tire. It's just got that piece of foam with like the air two compressor bolts. Kit. Yeah. And, so we just took that out and we just built... We sound deadened all of the back and we sound deadened the doors and the rear deck and some of it. And then great down there, we just on display, we just put the amps back there and it's got some, I wanted it functional, right? I wanted sort of two modes. I wanted to be able to pull the carpet cover off the factory cover and then see something on
display. Sure. Show it. Yeah.
So you can show the amps and you can see some carbon fiber bits that we did and it kind of reflects the taillights and the Mustang and it's got some LEDs to light it all up and you can control it with remote control. And then you can just throw the carpet piece that, it's like the cardboard with the carpet that would normally go over the spare tire. Well, you just throw that on there and it's fine. You can put stuff in the back of the car. So it looks
great. Soft. Smart.
So it's a nice system. It probably adds a little bit of weight, but it's not a ton of weight. Like we took out factory components and put new components in. So, we didn't do too much in the weight. Otherwise, also, I don't care.
Yeah. You added so much horsepower. You compensated. Yeah,
it's so much horsepower. and if anything, we added a little bit of weight to the front with the intercooler. The turbos, I'm not worried about adding weight because
intercoolers are light, aren't they? They're all aluminum.
Yeah, they're all pretty light, right? Yeah. So, and the turbos, like I said before, sit low right in front of the catalytic converters by the bell housing, right? So at least you're getting that weight really low and move back behind the front axle quite a bit, almost.
Yeah, but the distribution now, with the addition of those items and the stereo stuff in the back, you should still be at the right ratio.
Right. And then I cut, 30 pounds or something or 18 pounds, 20 pounds off the hood with the carbon fiber hood. Right.
There you go. Yeah.
So, so I got a little weight in the back where I need it. Right.
A little bag of groceries on a passenger seat and it balances right out.
And then you'd be fine. Yeah. So I added a little bit of weight in the back where I really could use it.
Well,
and it's been good. So I've been driving it and it's been fun and it's fast. And I'd love to get it on the track. I want to do all the beauty shots on the track and then we'll put some tape or plastic or whatever on it. And I'll do a couple of fast laps.
Are you going to PPF it at all or just leave it in paint?
Well, I mean, right now we're kind of showing it and stuff and I'm just kind of leave it in paint.
Because I think we talked about that at SEMA, didn't we? About you're not going to PPF it till you're done showing it.
Yeah. If I do PPF it, I'm just going to leave it for now and continue to show it. So the next event is going to be in June at the HRE Wheels open house. So that's always a really good event. So if anyone's going to be in Southern California, nice it is Saturday, June 10th. And if anyone's going to go down there, there's so many wonderful cars to see and you can see their factory and they open it up and they give you a tour and they got their showroom open and there's music and food and all kinds of stuff. And I'll have the car down there. It'll be in the Anderson Composites booth. Again, they'll have a tent or something set up probably with a couple cars. And I'll bring that down. So I'll be down there. This is the first event I get to like go to and display the car and stuff. Although Tammy and I, and Goldberg, we've been getting some distribution in San Diego with our drink Bravago. So now that we're down there, we're like, we may go and drop off the car and then go to visit some of the retailers and maybe do some tasting events and then come back and pick up the car at the end of the day because we've got some work to do while we're down there. So we may do a little bit of that. But anyway, I wanted to get into that car. This turbo kit is absolutely fantastic. I'm going to reach out to our friend Ray McClellan over at Full Throttle Customs. I spoke to him a little while ago and I said, hey, it seems to be working. but I would like to get the car on the dyno and see what kind of numbers we're putting down. You know, also given our shitty 91 octane out here in California, I want to get like a real world number on that car
and see
what it is around the street. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to do the E85 or any of that stuff or the super high octane. I just want to see what this tune is and make sure the tune is good and it's safe. I've got on the car a little bit, but I really haven't redlined this car. I mean, I'm going, you know, 70-80% throttle. I'm not even mashing my foot to the ground, and I'm getting it up to, you know, 5,500 RPM, maybe 58. I haven't gotten this thing up to like 6,400, and I haven't really mashed it. Because I want to get a feel for the car before, you know, I do that. And I'm certainly not turning off any of the, you know, all the little nannies on the car yet, because I don't have really a place to do it. Like, I'm just stretching its legs, like on an on-ramp, getting on the freeway or something. Like,
well, you don't want to be that guy anyway. Just wait till there's a big crowd and you're in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
You
know. Yeah, I'm just saying, everyone walking out of that HRE show, HRE open house show, watch out. I'm in a Mustang at a car show. So your best bet is really to stand in the road, because I'll be on the sidewalk, my friend.
Now, do you have the fuel system set up to run E85?
No, I don't. It is something we can do, but we could end up doing a higher octane fuel or just an octane booster just to see what it would do. Like, we can pour some boostane or something in it and get the numbers up a little bit. But my intention was not to run E85. It would require some fuel system stuff. So right now I think we did injectors on it, and we can do like a boost a pump. We can push the factory pump under boost to do it. I don't know that we did any real modifications to it. Cause we're not running a lot of boost, and that's the thing. I'm not quite sure where we are. We could be running 6 or 7 pounds. Now, when Helion Turbo developed the kit and they brought it to the SEMA garage and doing their emissions testing for it, it is emissions tested. They need to wait for their approval, but it did pass emissions up. It passed up to 11 pounds of boost.
Really?
Yes.
That's impressive. You know, it's funny because when I was going to Tiny Rig, I passed Mike's I passed the SEMA garage,
yeah.
And so I sent him a note. He's like, next time you come through, swing by. You know,
if you were running E85 or a high octane, you could pretty much like emission safe probably get somewhere around 850, almost 900 horsepower to this car.
And you did all that testing at the SEMA garage.
Helion did, not necessarily with my car. They had another car there.
That's impressive.
When they got it done, we rushed to get the kit over to my car, and we got it installed just in time for SEMA. As you know, I didn't even see the car. Like, it went from there to there, and that was it.
That would make me crazy, man. You've got more patience than I do.
I don't want to do that again. I've done it a few times at SEMA now, and I don't really want to do it again, but I'm enjoying the car. It's one of the project cars where I get to drive and have some fun with it.
I've got a few shows.
Well, I mean, my 95 Lightning, I can still drive.
Although,
like, you know, it doesn't have door panels on it and
center caps.
Oh, that's the other Mustang. Actually, I got the center caps for that one.
Okay.
The red Mustang. I'm gonna do so. And my 92 SAC car. So I actually went from like. So let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 cars, and only one of them doesn't run now.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
Now, doesn't mean they're done. It just means running. Yeah. Means I can get in it and fire it up and move it out of the garage and around the place or drive it or whatever. So the red Mustang is still going to take some. Actually, there's the other Mustang I never really talk about because I don't know what I'm going to do with it or sell it or build it. But so I guess out of the 5 cars, 2 don't run. Let's see.
But that's good, because I mean, for what?
Yeah, 3 of the 5.
All these vehicles. I mean, they were down to the bare bones. So the fact that you're to the point now, you know, because we'd all like to be in the 95% club, but most of us are in the 30% club or 50% club, which means you can't move it around the garage without 3 other guys pushing it with you. So that's a big deal. Big applause, man. It's been a long journey.
Well, thank you. So anyway, that's that. Let's, I've got to run out and meet someone. So we're, plus, I feel like this was a long show. So
let's, yeah, this was good. At the beginning of the show, we're like, what are we going to talk about? Well, I ordered the new Lego Land Rover.
And we didn't even get to talk about the Lego Land Rover.
No, 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 but this is good. That's here. I just said it. So we're done. That was excellent. That was excellent. Well, we got lots more to talk about in the future. And I'm doing more builds on the Jeep still, a couple more things. So I'll be heading back down your way and I'll keep you posted on that. And then we got Expo coming up in May. So I got to get all this stuff done in the next couple weeks. Excellent. So exciting.
Yeah. All right. Hopefully Brad's doing well and I'm sure he'll be back next week. And then, you know where we are. You know what the website and social media, you know where we're at this time. Yeah. So that's it. We're going to wrap it up. Thanks guys. See you next week.
Cheers.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.